The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left on my screen, you always seem to be there, and I think it's kind of freaky but cool at the same time. It's Professor Mara Livesey. You're always in the same slot on my Zoom calls.
That's because I always join first.
Okay. I got to remember.
Oh, that's the secret.
So I hesitate to ask this because I know it's just going to put the bowl of Cheerios that I spilled on the table this morning to shame, but I'm sure you've been cooking or baking or doing something wonderful today.
What have I done today? I've sat my butt on the couch and I completed my committee letter interviews, so I haven't had time to bake.
Okay, well, you just need a chance for catharsis, and writing those letters takes a lot out of you, so I know it's coming.
Absolutely. Brownies are on the schedule after this.
Excellent. What's special about the brownies that you make?
This is actually a new recipe translated from Spanish by my cousin.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
So you use actual oregano in these?
Yes, that's right.
Awesome.
Really? Any like pepper to spice it up?
I don't think so. I think they're pretty traditional brownies. It just happens to be a recipe that's written in Spanish.
Okay. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Dan Maggio is with us from the First Organization.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going, Dan?
Good, actually, real good.
Where's the Star Trek background? I kind of was looking for
it. I don't have it on. I don't have the pictures on my computer. I have them on my work computer.
Oh,
so, and then a bunch of Star Wars. Star Wars actually published a page where they made all kinds of photos available. So it's fun in meetings. Kind of gets old, but.
You know. The first time it's fun.
Yeah.
But you're doing well.
I am doing well. Glad it's the weekend. And
you can tell, huh?
Starting to get out a little more, feel more comfortable getting out.
Little bit at a time. Continuing around, I see Professor Dave Chow is with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. I think I saw your, I would say your alter ego, but really it's just a giant head of you, right?
Yes.
Got hidden away somewhere.
Just in case.
It only
just
comes out
I gotta sneak away.
At night. Exactly.
Not that I do.
Hey, Dave, I don't want to get too granular here, but there are a lot of houses near where you live that suddenly went up for sale. What the heck's going on?
I'm doing the Scooby-Doo thing. I'm haunting them in the middle of the night. So, yeah, I got that little projector, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to buy them up for the mineral rights.
Berkeley, Michigan.
Which minerals?
Dirt.
Yeah, dirt. Exactly.
No, Matt, actually... not that you would know, but the house next door to me has been vacant for about 15 years.
That's right.
Well, people have been turning into the community garden as of late in the backyard now.
Oh, my.
It could be haunted by now.
I know. But you should see the amount of vegetables between them and what my wife is doing right about now.
Wow.
Heather, you would almost be impressed. Maybe. So.
And I know a segue when I hear one. Professor Heather Hill is with us today, and maybe she's going to say something about things she's been growing in her garden.
Uh-oh.
There she is.
Yeah, my internet connection is unstable.
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's all right, though. Although you just got frozen blinking, and that's just one of the weirder things that happen sometimes.
Oh, here down the 8 Mile, when it rains, it gets a little unstable. So. Sure.
We got some weird weather going on in the metro area today. I thought that maybe you were reading something, you know, riveting because your eyes were sort of focused down and I didn't want to interrupt you at the time.
No, I'm looking at the little icon down there that, you know, hopefully will keep my internet connection from being unstable.
Roger.
But I'm sorry, who were you speaking to before I interrupted with my unstable internet connection? Oh,
I was actually introducing you.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, hello.
Heather, how does your garden grow?
It grows very well. Things are growing very, very fast right now. So, but I've been a little busier working on cultivating my online presence.
Of course.
Lips, lots of shiny lipstick and different, you know, shades of red and you know, because now apparently we all have to worry about our online presence.
That is important. Professor Kendra Evans is here with us today. It's been a while, Professor Evans.
It's been a really, really long time, but I received a reminder text at 3 p.m., which is for me the perfect time. Like a little earlier, I might have forgotten already. So
we're glad to have you here. And how were your daughters doing? Things are wrapping up soon, I assume.
No, we still have 2 full weeks. It's a full set of regular curriculum, as far as I can tell, for the remaining 2 weeks, and I am going insane. So, right. I don't know, like, who is in society that thinks that it's actually possible to do your job and also teach your children. It's actually not doable. Not with my children.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it's just your kids. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah, but they're doing okay. They're hanging in there. The good weather helps a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. We have Professor Jim Tubbs here with us today, who always looks just downright regal in his easy chair.
Regal, huh? Well, inspired by Heather, I decided I need a garden this summer too. So I went out when Meijer was on sale. I went out and bought 4 hanging baskets. So now I have 4 gardens.
Is there anything hanging in them though?
Yes, there's okay. flowers okay. in them. They're actually blooming. They're not dead yet.
Yet.
They've lasted a week already.
Yeah. We got a good dosage of rain this week, so your timing couldn't have been better.
Exactly. So does anybody want to break the news to Jim that they're plastic?
The flowers? No, they're not. I went around feeling all of them to make sure I got some real ones.
The real question, Jim, is how was your shopping experience?
Oh, well, it was okay because I went straight to the garden center and straight out of the garden center. So that helped a lot.
Perfect.
Straight back to the car.
That's the kind of shopping trip I like to hear about. No appointment needed, right, Jim?
No appointment. No.
Very nice. Hey, folks listening and watching, we're very happy to announce we have a special guest with us here today. Richard Wagner is here. I touched base with him just about a year ago because he is a freelance writer who writes about radio. And we started as a radio show 60 plus years ago. And we're very happy to have Richard joining us here today after writing a really nice piece about how he listened to Ask the Professor, both, if you don't mind, Richard, back in the day and in the modern era.
Oh, I date myself all the time, actually. I used to listen to it on KHJ and K-Earth 101 here in Los Angeles.
That is awesome. So you're calling us from Los Angeles. I think you mentioned that you're a high school teacher.
I teach math at San Pedro High School, which is part of Los Angeles Unified. And I'm very concerned that whatever I say makes me sound okay. I don't want to embarrass myself.
Not with this bunch.
Yeah, I think you're doing just fine. We tell tales all the time, Richard, about guest professors that we brought on the show. And I've literally viewed directly, back when we could actually see each other directly, like beads of sweat building on their foreheads as they thought they would be tested in the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. But mostly by the end, they realize we're just a bunch of goofballs that like to get together and have fun.
So that's what's always made the show fun. So
exactly. Actually, Matt, it was because how warm Briggs was too. So
Base of the Briggs is a special place. But right now we're broadcasting, of course, from basements and living rooms and easy chairs and what have you. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can find us on Facebook or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So we had an interesting set of questions sent to us by good old Anonymous last time. They were all over the map, but they had to do with numbers. We were estimating percentages and things like that. I think that one of the last questions we had is, in 2019, what percentage of its budget revenue did Russia receive by taxing the sale of oil? And that was 39%. A lot of you were considering going higher than that, but that's already a pretty big chunk of the budget if you think about it. Let's see what else we have put up our sleeve here. Compared to the first week of April 2019, U.S. consumer spending on video games, the first week of April 2020 rose by what percentage?
350%.
I was going to say 300%.
That's pretty
700%.
Good.
700%. Let's go big.
Usually what we do is we throw out a few numbers, and then I look in the direction of Professor Kendra Evans, and she hits it right on the nose.
No pressure, Kendra.
None.
Yeah, I was hearing some 300%, some 350, and then I heard the high estimate of, like, what was that,
700.
700, so I'll go with 425%.
I'm afraid that even with some generous error bars, that's going to cost you all. It's 95%, which is pretty remarkable. Yeah. Think about it. But let's not
competing with Netflix.
Right. Let's not think too hard on this next one, though. Compared to the first week of April 2019, U.S. consumer spending in movie theaters the first week of April 2020 declined by what percent?
100%.
Yeah. So you guys know how to play the numbers. Good.
Casinos are closed too. So
yeah, that's a different story, right? No revenue for the great city of Detroit, unfortunately.
I did hear casinos are allowing you to go ahead and send them their money anyway.
They'll even come pick it up.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will give you an extra large envelope too, just so it can fit.
Envelope in bag.
Give us a free drink and a meal too.
Yeah, exactly. Trip to the buffet. Mm-hmm. Oh. Dan, the pancakes are in the mail.
Yeah, thanks.
Try this one. Men driving or riding motorcycles had how many more times the rate of fatal accidents per mile versus female motorcyclists?
10.
38%.
75.
500%.
You know, I missed yours, Mara. You started us. What was it?
Oh, I said 10 times.
10 times? I'm giving it to you because it's 12. It's 12 times more likely.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. For the record, that is not statistically insignificant. Over 14,000 data points from 2005 to 2015. So that's real. That's probably more to do with ownership, but still pretty interesting. Okay. Dinosaurs arose nearly a quarter billion years ago on planet Earth. How many million years did they rule the land of Earth?
Oh, 500 million.
Where's Professor Ibrahim?
No idea.
You know, we just had a colleague from biology, Professor Ibrahim, as Kendra is bringing up, who published in the journal Nature about the Spinosaurus.
And he has the cover of Nature.
It's a big, big deal. Big, big deal.
Who's got the centerfold?
How many millions of years did dinosaurs rule the land of Earth?
Let's see.
60 million?
It's a little higher than that.
212.
85 million.
So I got 212, I got 85. It was 180 million years.
Wow.
Dinosaurs in charge. So far, only about 200 or something for human beings in the current
amateurs.
Month. Yeah. Colson Whitehead just won his second Pulitzer Prize for fiction for his novel, The Nickel Boys. He's just the fourth fiction writer to win the prize more than once. Could you name any of the other three? This is good.
Stephen King?
I'm afraid not.
Updike?
You know, John Updike is one of them. That's great.
Yay! Professor Hill. Yay! Yeah.
Let's see if I give initials, if we might hit on the other two. I have BT, B as in boy, T as in toy. Any ideas?
BT.
Same first name of the writer as the last name of Lincoln's assassinator.
Todd?
Oh, Shirley Booth.
Booth Tarkington.
Booth Tarkington.
Booth Tarkington.
Booth Tarkington. Oh, okay. Oh, isn't there a Shirley Booth? Wasn't she also an author?
She was an actress.
Am I remembering? I'm misremembering my.
She was Hazel.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
The other multiple Pulitzer winner is initials WF. Don't think too hard.
Faulkner?
William Faulkner.
Yeah, Faulkner. Very good. Got them all.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the nine professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations. Thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology, we're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
What percent... Oh, here we go, Richard. This is the part you were born to play.
Oh, no.
No pressure. None.
What percent of voters in California have voted by mail over the last 10 years?
Percent of voters that voted. So I would say about 40%.
You know, here, I'm going to give it to you. It basically says it got up to 65% in the 2018 midterm. So it's hovered around 50%,
which
is a really big deal. But, you know, we're very generous, as Professor Hill would tell you. Error bars here.
That's a passing grade.
I'll give it to you. Yeah, absolutely.
Or shoes and hand grenades.
It's being pointed out in this question set, and I don't know what else to say or do with my face when I say it, but of course, all 20.6 million California voters will be able to vote by mail in the November 2020 election.
Yes.
So that means the whole West Coast.
Basically. Same with the great state of Michigan, although, you know, I've been told it's illegal, so we'll have to look into that.
Right, yeah. We voted for it. Can't be illegal.
That's right, that's right. By what percent has spending on ride hailing dropped during the pandemic? So let's cover taxis and the gig economy all together. People,
83%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was going to say 90.
Yeah, 80-90.
One of you actually said exactly the correct percentage, 83.
Wow. Of course, me. Hey, good guess.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. I'm pretty sure that the scientists on the call know this one. What percent of DNA do great apes, so that would include gorillas, chimps, bonobos, and orangutans, share with human beings?
99.3%.
Yep, 99%. There's some social commentary here. All of these, except for humans, are highly endangered.
Uh-oh, I better hide my prehensile tail.
Don't rush it.
Oh, my. In a year, how many total inches do the incisors of a rat grow?
2 inches.
I don't want to know.
Five.
Yeah. Eight. You don't want to know.
The first question was, I didn't even know rats had teeth.
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently,
if they didn't gnaw them down all the time, they do have long things, they would be very long.
I know they have teeth.
If they didn't wear them down, Heather got it spot on. It's 5 inches.
But I wouldn't even have measured it in inches. But
I think we're making
5 inches.
That's a lot.
Are they less prone to cavities? they keep getting new teeth their whole life.
Oh yeah, they wear off all the plaque too when they wear down their teeth.
Well, you know, the data was going to be far more detailed, Kendra, but then the rat dentists had to go into lockdown and they haven't been able to practice in a few weeks. So, you know.
Yeah, it's probably the approval also.
Now, when they chew on decon rat poison, then they don't grow as much.
Right. Exactly.
It slows it down a lot.
Yeah.
According to the Can Manufacturers Institute, which is a trade group, what percent of steel food containers are recycled in early 2020?
60.
That's pretty high. No, it's higher than that. It's a little higher.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I read that relatively recently, too.
Very cool. Very
69?
Cool.
69?
You know, I'm going to give it to you, Jim. It's 71. It's basically spot on. And steel is eminently, easily recyclable and doesn't usually break down when it's sprayed with plastic. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The Bank of England said that by the end of June 2020, the British economy would be what percent smaller than it was in December 2019?
Wow. 4.8.
10%.
22.
30.
Mara hit it right on the dot.
Really?
It's 30%.
It is. No kidding.
That's so scary.
One third. That's incredible. Yeah. That contraction would be the deepest since what year of recorded British history?
1400.
I feel because we're talking about modern times, Heather, that I got to give you the error.
Oh, I'm sorry. My internet connection is unstable.
1940.
It says
1942.
It says what you need to think about here is that the banking records only go back to 1701.
Oh.
Yeah.
And sadly, the year we're looking for is 1706.
Oh, wow.
What was so bad about 1706?
It's interesting you ask. It says that was the year that the British chased the French out of the Netherlands and Italy was in the War of Spanish Succession.
Oh.
So, you know, those things will affect your economy.
I was thinking smallpox epidemic.
The U.S. unemployment rate jumped to what percent by 8 of May 2020? Wow.
Like 10% or something.
Like 23%?
25%. Wasn't it closer to
12? I'm giving it to you, Richard. It was 14%.
Wow.
And just by comparison, numbers can lie, okay? But the absolute height of the Great Depression, circa 1933, was what percent unemployment?
25?
25 is what it says here. Yeah, 25%. Mm.
And does anybody know what the rate is in Michigan?
It's a little higher, isn't it?
It's higher.
Yeah.
I wonder how much higher.
I think in Detroit, it's one out of five, one out of four that they're out of work.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because I know, like, for technically, I'm listed as unemployed because I'm a gig worker now. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, joy. Yeah, I'll be on the street corner with a tin can. Try not to run me over, please.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of, yeah, the depression.
You need to take an accordion with you.
Right.
Where's that little bonobo with the chain that I need too? So.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you can do people's caricatures.
Right. Okay, Heather, I'll start with you. Why not? Let's go.
Okay. Let's see if we can do this one mathematically. Don't try too hard. 17th of April, 2020. Hazeltine National Golf Club activated its first automated tee time booking system. How long did it take to fill all 172 tee times for the next day?
3.5 minutes.
10 seconds.
Is that a boo? 3 seconds.
1 second.
It took 2 seconds.
Two seconds. Oh my God.
People are looking for things to do.
And golf is really a wonderful thing to do during global pandemic. You're kind of in nature, you know, it's definitely up someone's alley. What percentage of golf courses are now open nationwide as of today?
92%.
A little bit lower.
75.
84.
You know, it says it's 88.
Wow.
But before May 15th, it wasn't 88. It was what?
22.
30.
44%. Okay. Let's see. It says recreational golfers are a naturally discontented group, especially after a challenging round replete with bad bounces, lost balls, and bogeys. But the coronavirus has apparently blunted grumpiness. As one golf course official put it, people have bigger things to worry about than a three putt on the final green.
Okay. Yeah, getting out of the house. That's the bigger thing to worry about.
Those were an awesome set of questions from Anonymous. And frankly, I think we pretty much destroyed them. Everybody, we had a couple, like seriously, there were two or three of them where you hit the thing right on the nose. It's absolutely incredible. So let's move on to the latter part of our program here where I point at my screen and see who responds, who can come up with an ATP favorite question for us to ask our panelists for today.
Favorite pandemic activity that you never did before.
Oh,
that's a good one. Dan, can you start us off?
Oh, were you calling on me? I'm sorry, I kind of froze there for a second.
Your internet connection, right?
Oh, I have to start too? Oh, I didn't know that was part of the deal.
Well, maybe it means you go last, you know.
I'll go second.
All right, I'll tell you mine. I now go to Costco to browse.
Whatever gets you out of the house, Jim.
Exactly.
Although I got to say, I think it was in the news today, Costco in the next 10 days in Michigan will bring back free samples. And I'm like, really?
That's not a good idea. Watch the wolves go after them.
It wasn't a good idea before. Why would it be a good idea?
I was going to say. Those poor people, you know, it's like, I don't know how they do that. You know, sit behind that counter and just have hands clutching and grabbing at them. It's, you know,
I've never seen anything bring out the worst part of human nature, though. Samples that
Costco. Free samples.
Free food. Food. Who wants to go next?
I mean, for me, it's walking on a regular basis. That simple. Just going out for a walk every night. So it's been nice.
Yeah, mine is pretty similar. I try to go for a run every day. And this past weekend, I went for a run in downtown Detroit in 80-degree weather with a mask.
Okay, I think for me, it's learning new recipes online, trying different things there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I haven't killed my wife yet, and my tapeworm is still okay.
You and that tapeworm, I don't know what to think. How about you, Kendra?
Yeah. I think I already discussed my leisure activity of kindergarten and third grade instruction.
That's leisure?
No. I guess the main thing that we've added in is we'll go on walks and the kids will ride bikes or scooters or something like that. So we try to do that fairly often. And we definitely did not have time for that before.
Heather?
I think I'm reading the Chronicle of Higher Education more than I read it before.
All right. If you don't mind, I'm going to steal yours because the same thing applies to me, like every hour.
Oh.
The updates are fast and furious in the world of higher ed. That's all I can say. We have a special guest with us today. Richard, how would you answer Dan's question?
I don't know if I'm actually doing anything new necessarily other than walking a little bit more, but I'm certainly shaving less.
I think that still counts, Richard. I'm right there with you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. So I'm going to thank the panel. Let's start with Mara.
See you next time.
Dan.
Thank you and goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Kendra.
Bye.
Jim.
Have a great weekend.
And of course, Richard.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed from the facilities of all of our personal spaces, but it's out of the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Till next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.